It was hell today. We're watching something on DVR and turned it off, and goddamn Ed, that Matt LeBlanc monkey baseball movie.
Oh, I thought you meant like the TV show Ed.
No,
I like that.
was on whatever channel it was on, because I fell asleep watching a movie or something. And the kids like saw it and went nuts. And it's like the worst movie ever made.
Did it make you wish for like Air Bud?
MVP, most valuable primate,
Yeah,
that
that
hockey
was one of
playing
them.
monkey. I don't like that I know that. That one dude that's in that movie though, Kevin, oh, what's his name? Zeiger or Kevin Zegers or something. He's in like six animal movies. Like I
Maybe
think
he's
he's,
like a trainer?
or he's into bestiality, which I think is more
One of
likely.
the two,
Because
yeah.
he was in like the first
He
couple
either
Air
trains
Buds. I think he
animals
was in Beethoven. He
or
was
he
in that
fucks them.
MVP movie. Yeah. Something's up there. I don't trust you, Kevin Zegers, or whatever your name is.
This dude's not one of us. He said he'd fuck a sheep.
Boom! It's Movies On Up. Obey the rules or die laughing. I'm Dave, joined by my witching co-host, Ryan. And we are Movies On Up. It's October, the biggest month of the year for us at Movies On Up. But before we get to why, obey the rules or die laughing is our tagline for this week. If you know what movie that is from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. You can also go to moviesonup.com, but there's really no way to contact us through there other than the other three ways I just told you.
They're
But
all good.
it is October. This is our first episode of October, and October's a huge month for us. It's probably not breaking news. We've probably mentioned it in episodes leading up to this, but two episodes a week for these next 4 weeks of October. I think last year had 5 weeks in October
Yeah, that
somehow.
sucked.
Yeah, we had to do 10 episodes. So we have our 8 episodes lined up.
Or can't we just like only do 3 weeks this time and just say like remainder from last year, you owe us?
Either way, there's a blog post up. There should be up by now about our October schedule.
It was probably written about a month ago.
Yeah, perhaps. This was recorded about a month ago. So if you want to see what we have every week this October, we're going to do a movie and
A list and
a
a movie.
list. This is the list for this week. We're going to talk about our scariest movies personally. Maybe not necessarily the scariest movies ever made, but just what movies scared us the most. And then later this week, we'll be talking about one of Ryan and I's favorite movies of all time, not just favorite horror movies. We'll be talking about The Thing.
Pretty much all of our movies in October are movies that we both like a lot and have talked about an awful lot. So why not just this month give them an entire show unto themselves? And yeah, I'm really pumped about The Thing being the first one of these. It's hard to believe that this is October 3 of this particular voyage, and this is the first time that The Thing is getting its standalone episode.
This is our season of the witch of Movies On Up Octobers.
Off to a bad start.
Yeah. So,
No more days till Halloween.
how do you feel about your list of scariest movies?
To be completely honest with you, I hate two of these movies. And not because they scared me as a child, but because they're not very good. But specifically, they're on this list because they did scare me as a child. Maybe that's why I hate them. I'm bitter towards them. I'm a big tough man. Not a lot of movies scare me now. But I think it was interesting to kind of crawl back in the headspace of how you felt about movies as a child and looking at them. Some of these I haven't seen in years. So they probably wouldn't scare me now, and they're probably not even that scary at all. But for one reason or another, and it may have very little to do with the actual movie, I was somewhat frightened by the experience. So that's why they're on there.
That's kind of where I went to. Two of them are movies that scared the bejesus out of me as a child, and I have not watched since. So,
Because you are still scared to this
well,
day.
they're probably terrible movies, and they're probably not even scary at all, but I have that memory of them. So I'd rather just keep it like that. I don't want to. And I have this, not necessarily fond memory, but I have a memory of these movies, and I feel like watching them again would just kind of taint that. Enough about our scary diatribes before our list. Ryan, your number five scariest movie to you.
My number five, and all of my movies are from the 1980s. That was the decade in which I was born. Kind of my earliest memories of clomping up and down the aisles of any particular movie store, and there are about three or four rental locations that I remember as a kid. These were the big box VHS, and not necessarily even big box, but just the VHS tapes that when I was lucky enough to be able to rent a scary movie, you know, these were all the ones that I had seen for so long. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get this one. And my number five is definitely falls into that category. It's from 1985. It's Creature, directed by William Malone, starring Klaus Kinski, Wendy Shaw, and Stan Ivar. This movie really steals everything that isn't nailed down. The creature design, the design of the creature itself, is very reminiscent of Alien, the Geiger design of the Alien, but it would be like if Dave and I tried to do it in 3 hours with like paper mache. In case you think that might look good, it does
not.
Don't
you question my paper mache skills.
Maybe yours are better than mine, but I will drag you down to the level of Bill Malone's creature. Not only just stealing the design of the actual creature, there were these parasitic organisms that would latch on to the side of your head and just kind of manipulate your brain into doing silly things, as opposed to just plant one in your chest like the alien did. Sound effects lifted straight out of a galaxy far, far away. Models and set designs that Stanley Kubrick should have sued someone over. Looking back on it, it's incredibly dated, and I'm not even talking about just like the computer scenes of what they thought a computer would look like in the future. But this movie came out in 1985, and it features a storyline where this particular space crew gets to Jupiter, but they had been beaten there by a damn team of West German scientists. And the Berlin Wall came down just 4 years later in 1989, so it makes it look a little bit silly there too. But there are a couple creepy deaths. But the one thing that stands out to me about Creature is the head exploding scene. There is a fella that gets shot right squy in the face, and his head blows up as spectacularly as I have ever seen anything. It's like the Death Star blowing up, except it's some dude's face.
Walking Dead, take notes.
Everything that's ever been made after Bill Malone's 1985 Creature, you should go back and take some notes. Whatever budget they may have had for this movie, I feel like they just spent it all on this scene. Or they had like, this was the first thing they shot. They're like, oh, shit. We're out of money and we don't have any other ideas. But this scene is pretty cool. And it is. It just blew my mind as a kid. Pun completely intended. I don't think I was really concerned about what was inside of my head, but this movie shows you everything that's inside of a man's head. And it scared the hell out of me. Kind of a side note, which will become a little bit of a running thing in some of my movies. Wendy Shaw may not sound very familiar, but if you hear her talk, she will sound very familiar because it's Francine from American Dad. She is the female lead in Creature.
My number five, I'm not playing the man card and saying, like, oh, these were all when I was a child.
Mine was not a man.
Mine was from 1999. And say what you will about it. If you walked out of the movie theater in 1999 from watching The Blair Witch Project and told me it didn't scare you at all, I think you're lying straight up. Maybe not like pee your pants scared, but it was creepy. There were some scenes in there that it felt so real. And at the time, like the timing of this movie was perfect because you can't do these found footage movies like this now because you know they're found footage movies. This was like we hadn't seen it before. And
people thought that this was real.
Yes, that's exactly what my point is you had you didn't have the internet ruining everything. I know that there were people sitting in that theater around me that thought this was real footage. And you know what? It felt enough to where I thought, you know, maybe they're right. I knew it was a movie, but there was that part of me that's like, maybe it's based on some true stuff. But it didn't offer a lot of jump scares. But the ones that it did have, I thought were pulled off pretty well. You know, I don't like a lot of found footage movies. I think it's kind of, this year there's a couple, there's three off the top of my head this year that I like because they're all a little bit different. The closest one to Blair Witch would be Willow Creek or the Bobcat Goldthwait
one. Yeah, the Sasquatch thing.
Yeah, where his tent scene is on par with anything that Blair Witch did.
And that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. But I mean, that's the tent scene and the ending of Blair Witch is all you need.
Yeah, very reminiscent.
It was creepy. Like, I'm not a camping guy, but I didn't want to really be outside.
You're damn sure not going to be after watching this movie.
Yeah, it felt real enough that if I would have had to walk through the woods, I wouldn't have wanted to. I grew up watching Friday the 13th movies. I knew if I went out to the woods, Jason wasn't out there.
I knew. I wasn't worried about it because I know he only kills you if you have sex. And yeah. I was not having sex, so I was fine.
So this just had a real feel to it, and something about the found footage-ness of it just worked. And to this day, one of my favorite movie-going experiences, because I was there opening weekend, and it was that Friday, and it was packed. And just to share that experience with people was cool. And yeah, it's not the scariest movie ever made, but it was a cool experience, and definitely I got some chills from it. So I could not put it on this list.
My number four doesn't really belong in the same class as the Blair Witch Project, but I'm going to go on with it in any case. It is 1982's Basket Case, directed by Frank Henelotter, starring Kevin Van Hentrick, Terry Susan Smith, and Beverly Bonner. For whatever reason, I can't really seem to remember a lot about what I did yesterday, but as I mentioned at the top, I do have very distinct memories of going up and down the aisles at video stores and seeing the boxes. I mean, I don't even know if I could read at that point, but I definitely remember the box for Basket Case, this little creature-looking thing inside of a basket, believe it or not. This was one of those that I probably brought to my mom like every week. I was like, can I get this? Can I get this? Can I get this? And maybe when I turned four, she was like, sure, let's get it. What the hell? She's a great mom. When I did finally see it, I don't think I was scared as much as I was kind of just creeped out and sort of disgusted. If you haven't seen the movie, what you end up having is a really creepily deformed conjoined twin scenario. Conjoined twins in and of themselves are, you know, kind of, they're so, you know, not the norm. Just seeing them in real life, you know, is kind of jarring to you. And then when they really make the thing look like a little monster, it makes it that much worse. The movie itself is pretty crappy, not particularly scary, and it's kind of played not for straight laughs by any stretch of the imagination, but there are some comedic quote-unquote elements to it, which definitely didn't register on me as a child. But this is one of the ones that I have seen more recently, and it's terrible. The sequel is god-awful. That one's a little bit more of the comedic side, but I will say that little creepy bastard, Bilal, still gives me the willies. It's not that I'm scared. It's just it's disgusting to look at it.
That kind of sums up that movie. Like, I don't like the movie. I hate the movie. Never scared me. It just creeped me out, and I just didn't want to watch it ever again. My number four, I'm going to get even more recent than 1999, and for a lot of the same reasons that I had the Blair Witch on, I'm going to go all the way to 2012 with Barry Levinson's The Bay. It's another found footage one, but it's a little bit different. And much like how I said Blair Witch kind of felt real, this felt even more real because it's just about an ecological disaster in a small town, and it's frightening.
Yeah, a witch may not actually exist, but you can see, especially with, you know, the outbreaks that we're dealing with now, like,
yeah,
that's gonna happen.
Because it's not that far-fetched. It wasn't an ecological disaster that turned people into zombies. It wasn't anything that turned people into cannibals. It was just a virus or a parasite that gets inside and just kind of screws you
ruins
up.
Ruins your day.
And it looked very, very painful. And it was something as simple as I jumped in the lake. It's a really cool movie because there's not really, it follows a few characters. Like, there's not really your lead, but it's got a good performance from Christopher Denham, who I like. And I really like Kristen Connell, even though she's not in it a ton. But Barry Levinson, you took a good director that did a found footage movie, and they did it cool. Like, my biggest complaint about found footage movies is they don't make sense half the time.
As to why they're
found
footage.
Just put the
camera down.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, there's a giant monster invading New York. Put the goddamn camera down, T.J. Miller. Go! You're walking across the building. Just put the goddamn camera down. But, like, this was all, like, security camera or footage from the scientists and stuff, and it made sense. Much like Blair Witch did, and the three I like this year all made sense, but it's terrifying because we're assholes to our surroundings. Like, us as humans are assholes to nature. And stuff like this is very, very realistic. Like, this is very plausible. And he didn't go nuts with it. And I think that's what the scariest thing is that he didn't make it out there. He made it feel real.
But it was still gross.
It was still gross.
A lot of gross stuff.
It was gross, but it's like, oh, God, that would be terrible.
It's like looking at a medical textbook.
Yeah. The reactions of people, like, because if that's something like that's going to happen, people are going to go crazy. Like, the virus isn't going to be the only thing you have to worry about. So, you know, it didn't scare me like I hid under the bed, but it just scared me as it was like a wake-up call to think, like, oh, yeah, like, this isn't that out there.
It just got you into the Purell.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you treat the earth like a garbage dump, it will come back and get you in the end, which is the tagline for my number three. It was a tagline contest that we had done quite a while ago. So if you picked Ghoulies for that from 1984, you would have won. Starring Peter Lapis, Lisa Pelkin, and Michael DeBar. Directed by Luca Bercovi. This one is another bit of infamous cover art here. There is a ghoulie, a little goblin-type creature in a toilet. That image and the incredibly clever tagline that I just dropped came about during the marketing phase of the movie after the rest of it had already been shot. So they kind of went back and said, well, this was a really good idea. Why the hell didn't you put it in the movie there, Luca? And he was like, okay, fine, we'll get it in there. So it did really feel wedged in. They went back to that well in Ghoulies 2, and that seems like it fits a little bit better. This movie, I believe, was actually rated PG-13. There's not a lot of gore in it. Not that many people die. There are some boobs, though.
It's all at a frat party, isn't it? Or is that 2?
2 is at an amusement park that's about to be shut down. The first one, it is like a house party.
Okay.
But he chooses to resurrect his dead dad, which, I mean, who wouldn't do that at a house party, right?
In his defense, his dad was a party animal.
This is true, and so were the rest of these little ghoulies. The fact that a monster could come out of the toilet, I don't think occurred to me as a child, but I guess you're not the most rational when you're, you know, 6, 7, 8. I never looked at what was in the toilet before I sat down. You bet after I saw Ghoulies I did, because you'd never see that little bastard sneaking up on you. If you don't believe me, ask the guy from Ghoulies 2. You've heard the urban legends about flushing a lizard down the toilet and it becoming like an alligator. Well, yeah, that alligator's got to go somewhere. If it wants to get out, it's going to come like in my house, come up my toilet and into my rear end. I now look twice before I take a seat somewhere. And in, I guess, now related television news, the feature film debut of Mariska Hargitay. She shows up in Ghoulies.
Leo was Critters 3, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was one of the Critters films. Jennifer Aniston was Leprechaun. Billy one. Bob was in a Troma movie.
Caviezel was in Ed, that
The Monkey movie?
The Monkey movie. my number, whatever we're on, 3, I think?
Yeah, sure.
My number 3 falls into the... I won't vouch for this movie being scary, but it's from 1986, so I saw it when I was around 8-ish. Terrified me. Absolutely terrified me. It is, I remember it as Ouija, whatever it's called, but I guess the official title is Witchboard. I think I just called it Ouija because it was about a Ouija board, and that's the weirdest word to say it after you say it 10 times in a row. But
Witchboard,
yeah. It's one of those that I watched because I was up looking for boobs on Cinemax after the parents went
to sleep.
Should
have just watched Ghoulies.
Yeah.
Or Creature.
I only had Movie Channel and Showtime, so I'm flipping between the two hoping for boobs. And Witchboard's on, and yeah, Tawny Katane's in this.
As the wife of Chuck Finley. My quick Tawny Katane story, I will always remember her for, like, kicking Chuck Finley in the nuts so hard he had to miss a start.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no,
she's not the White Snake chick. No, she's the chick that booted her husband in the nards to prove that Chuck Finley had nards.
Tawny Katane stars in this, and it's just a dude comes to a party, brings a Ouija board, because why wouldn't ya? He tries.
If you're
to,
not resurrecting your dead dad, you're Ouija-ing.
They try to talk to the 10-year-old boy that he talks to all the time. It's kind of creepy.
That's, yeah.
Tawny Katane's boyfriend pisses the spirit off, so bad stuff starts happening. And I don't know if the movie scared me so much or the fact that, like, a week after seeing the movie, I was at a party with these – not a party.
With Tawny Katane.
I was at a get-together with a bunch of other kids who lived out in the middle of nowhere, and somebody wanted to bring out the Ouija board. And I'm just like, no,
board.
I've seen what it can do. Like, I know what this can do. And it was just so dark outside, so that kind of added to it. It's probably not a scary movie. It's probably a terrible, terrible 80s movie starring Tony Katane, but something about it, just the time I saw it. And
Ouija boards are creepy.
They're very
themselves.
Creepy. Yeah, they're very creepy. And I believe she ends up getting possessed.
Sure she does.
Again, I can't vouch for how scary it is now, but 8-year-old me would probably be able to go on and on about how terrified he was of witch board.
My number two probably did make me take a number two, and it was also from 1986. This is a good movie. My number one and my number two I actually like quite a bit. It is directed by Stuart Gordon. It's From Beyond, starring Jeffrey Combs, Barbara Crampton, and Ted Sorrell. I cannot remember when I saw this movie for the first time, but for the longest time, I had this image burned in my mind of this little slimy-like finger popping out of a guy's head and someone at the hospital trying to, like, snag it with a pair of tongs. I had no idea what movie it was from. I don't necessarily remember seeing the entire thing. I think I just remember standing in my living room, mouth completely agape, watching this on the television, like, what the hell is going on? Sometime many, many years later, when I started getting into the Lovecraft kick, as I think you do when you're like, I don't know, 16, 17, I ended up seeing From Beyond. And as soon as that hospital scene came back on, I was like, holy shit! 6-year-old Ryan met 16-year-old Ryan, and they both had their mouths agape, and the space-time continuum was torn asunder, which I think is the plot of this movie, but I'm not really sure. It was kind of my introduction to H.P. Lovecraft and Stuart Gordon, both of which I have a pretty good affinity for now. The visuals in it are really kind of rad. There's some pretty strange-looking monster-type things that happen in this movie, and I don't know that it's particularly scary, but it's really gross, and it just it was one of the earliest like movie-watching experiences that I can remember, because I don't really remember anything else about the movie seeing as a child other than just that one scene. And then it was just so powerful when it came back. I was like, oh my God, that's the movie that I've been trying to figure out what the hell it's been. Because I thought as an adult, man, I remember this being really creepy. I should track this down and see if I can see it again, because it might be kind of cool. And it was.
My number two, it's one that scared me as a child. I've watched recently. I watch it fairly regularly. It's an all-time classic. To me, it's quite possibly one of the best horror movies ever made. I don't think a lot of people would argue. With 1974 is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, directed by Tobe Hooper. It's a classic for a reason. Like, it feels very much like a 70s, almost like an exploitation movie, because it is kind of slow moving at the time, but when stuff starts happening, stuff starts happening. And it's terrifying because it has that realism to it. Leatherface isn't a supernatural being. He's just a dude that wears a mask that has a chainsaw. And I mean, there's not a whole lot of chainsaw massacring going on in the movie, but there's a lot of creepy stuff.
Most of the deaths, you know, are non-chainsaw related. Exactly. And those are the bad ones.
Yeah. The meat hook stuff, like, it's a scary, scary movie. And the first time you see, like I mentioned Willow Creek earlier with the tent scene, and it's a very, very patient scene. And I feel like that's what lacks in horror a lot now, is there's not a lot of patience. But when you first get into Leatherface's house and that shot where you're just looking in the door and you think something might happen, but then nothing happens for long enough for you to think that, okay, maybe nothing's going to happen. And then, oh, it's been long enough. If something were going to happen, it happened by now. And then it happens. Like, it's very patient. It's a slow burn for a slasher movie, because what they've become now is just jump scare after jump scare.
Kill somebody pretty brutally in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That buys you some time.
And just the way it's shot, it feels weird. Just watching, it feels like you're watching like a snuff film. Like, just the way it's shot and the tone of the whole thing. I mean, to this day, it gives me chills to watch it. I don't want to watch it alone in a dark room. Like, it's still scary. Like, to me, it's still scary. And I have no problem saying that as a 34-year-old man that, yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a scary movie. And it's legitimately scary. Even though I've seen it I don't even know how many times, and I know what's going to happen. It just gets you, because in a large part of it is how it's shot and how it feels so real.
I don't think people would argue that Tobe Hooper can make – he's a great horror director. I kind of feel like my number one is from a guy that I think is one of the great horror directors that we had going. Movie from 1981, not too dissimilar in title from my last one. It's The Beyond by Lucio Fulci, starring Katrina McCall, David Warbeck. I saw my share of things that I probably shouldn't have seen as a kid, movie-wise. We'll get into a movie later this week, The Thing, which I saw very early on as a kid. Had it on VHS, and I watched the hell out of it. And there's some pretty strange things in that movie. But I think, for whatever reason, this movie freaked me out more. Maybe it was because, I guess I maybe didn't believe in aliens as much as I believed in the idea of the ghosts and stuff could really come back and make your life a little bit difficult. I'm relatively certain that this is the first Fulci movie I ever saw. At the time, it didn't really dawn on me that, okay, this is what this guy does. But after having seen Zombie and some of the other, the hallmarks are there of Fulci at his best. The deaths are very creepy. They're pretty violent. He's got this thing with eye trauma where at least one person in the movie is going to get killed by having something go through their eye. In this particular movie, there's a scene in the library. Fulci is the librarian in the scene. He leaves, and this dude gets ripped up by just tarantulas that show up out of nowhere. And they actually like start ripping off pieces of his face and eating his eyeball, and it's just It just makes your skin crawl because it's really kind of gross. His vision of zombies in this movie and, you know, obviously in Zombie, to me, have been the most realistic depictions of what really a walking corpse would look like. That's what his zombies were. They were walking corpses that were in just ridiculous states of decay, which is kind of jarring to see as a kid. That'll stick with you. And the score, I remember, kind of did stick with me for a long time too. It's very heavy. It's very electronic in kind of that Italian style of the mid to late 70s and the 80s, which I appreciate now as a kid. It just scared the pants off me. Not that this movie needed any help scaring the pants off me. And the ending, really kind of a bummer. I guess you're used to, like, spoiler alert, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the girl kind of gets away. So, hey, that's good. A lot of the movies I'd seen. And The Thing, hey, Kurt Russell doesn't necessarily die. But this movie ends, and it's a super bummer. And you just go, what the hell? Like, you just kicked my ass for an hour and a half, and there's no payoff. It's just terrible. This Fulci guy's a real dick. But he can make a really creepy, scary movie.
Yeah, my number one, it was, a lot of people considered it a number two. It's from a director of one of a classic horror movie. It was William Friedkin's pretty much first foray into horror after he did The Exorcist. It is 1990's The Guardian. It's one of those I don't want to watch now because, by all accounts, it's a terrible, terrible movie. When it hit cable, it had been dubbed an Alan Smithy film, so, you know, even William Friedkin, who makes some pretty terrible movies, thought this was too terrible to have the William Friedkin name on it. So it became Alan Smithy. Sam Raimi was originally attached to direct this. This was going to be his first, like, major studio movie.
But he made a good call.
Yeah, he did Darkman instead. I don't remember much about it. I remember the tree that eats babies. And that's all I needed. 11-year-old me saw this in theaters twice. It scared the hell out of me both times when it came onto cable. Scared the hell out of me still. I don't remember a lot about it other than the nanny was some kind of druid wolf type summoner creature that fed babies to trees, and just something about a tree eating a baby and the face of the baby showing up in, like, the tree branch.
Is it like that Ticket Oak thing now?
Not as scary as that Ticket Oak thing. It's a wacky, like, late 80s, early 90s horror movie where stuff just goes crazy. I mean, there's an attempted rape scene where the tree just destroys three dudes and the girl just kind of watches as it happens. Like, it's got messed up parts. The parts I remember are pretty terrifying, but it actually showed up on one of the movie channels last year and I DVR'd it and it sat there forever because I don't want to watch it because I'm sure it's terrible. it's probably a terrible, terrible movie. But in my mind, it has a place as the scariest movie that I've ever seen. And I'll let it have that because this movie doesn't have a lot going for it. So I'll let it be my scariest movie ever.
I was convinced when you said William Friedkin, and having already discussed The Bay, I thought you were going Bug.
I hated that movie.
So bad. You did say that you didn't really like your number, like it was a number two, and I didn't mind Bug. Really,
I love Michael Shannon, but
really very creepy. Yeah, lots of Ashley Judd.
The only thing that scared me about that movie was that I paid $8 and wasted an afternoon on it. Me and Jason West saw that movie together at like 4 o'clock on a weekday, and there were a couple old ladies behind us.
I bet they didn't like it at all.
Had no idea what they were getting into. But yeah, The Guardian was my number one. Again, I don't want to see it. I don't want to take that away from it. Did you have any also-rans?
There was a movie that didn't scare me as a kid, and I don't think it scares me now, but I can't watch it, and it is one of your all-time favorite movies, Gremlins. I don't know what it is about Gremlins, but I can't sit through and watch Gremlins.
Well, you're going to have to later this month.
Yeah, I know, and it's going to be interesting. Or I might just do what you do and be like, oh, I've seen this a while ago, so you drive this one, and I'll just chime in. Isn't it funny when the Gremlins sing?
I mean, we'll get on in about that episode. That's a legit thing because the horror parts are legitimately scary. The science teacher, when Mama Peltzer is fighting them, like, that's legitimately scary. So I don't want to digress too much into it now because we're dedicating a whole episode. I cannot wait. But, my also-rans, I don't know anything about it. I've made no effort to rewatch it. It was another one. I bought the VHS forever ago and then just never rewatched it because, much like The Guardian, I wanted it to have that place. It's Communion. It's a Christopher Walken alien invasion movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was made for TV or if it was an actual real movie, but I remember it scaring the hell out of me because those little aliens always scared me. Alligator. With Robert Forrester, it would have been mid-80s. Not the whole movie scary, but the pool scene.
And the fact that that thing could come up through your toilet.
Yeah, the pool scene where it's a birthday party and they're making a kid dressed as a pirate walk the plank, which is the diving board, and he sees this giant 10-foot alligator in the pool, and he's like wigging out, like, don't push me in the water, and they do anyway. That sat with me forever. And it kind of Fallen, the Denzel Washington movie. Not so much that it's scary, it's just... The thing I'm scared most of in this world is something like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something to where, like, I get taken over by something and do stuff that I wouldn't do, and then that's how I'm remembered. That's, like, my biggest fear in the world is somebody taking over my body, doing terrible things, and then me dying before I can say, hey, that wasn't me. Fallen kind of did that with the whole possession and doing terrible things. But that's it for me.
One other one that... It's a really good movie. I didn't put it on because I guess I didn't feel like talking about it. It's American Werewolf in London. That movie, like the transformation scene, not even before that, really, where they get attacked by the wolf. I remember the first time I saw that movie, it was on TV. So, you know, obviously it was toned down a little bit. But it was on at the same time as Meatballs. And I remember, like, getting the shit scared out of me. And so I flipped over and watched Meatballs, which is a great movie. I had never seen either of them at the time, but I was like, oh, no, I tapped out on American Werewolf, and I watched Meatballs instead.
I think we generally don't come up with obvious ones, but a lot of the stuff I said about Texas Chainsaw could be said for Night of the Living Dead. That movie still gives me legitimate creeps because it's a very good movie in the tone of it. Night of the Living Dead's always going to be scary. And the first half of The Descent, before the monsters come in, I'm not claustrophobic, but I don't... My brother used to wrap me up in those things you put on a mattress, those, like, styrofoam things that make it softer. He used to wrap me up in one of those and throw me behind the couch, and it always terrified me because I hate the idea of being in a space so tight that you can't move. And in the first half of The Descent, there's a couple of those scenes, and it felt real because, you know, once the monsters come in, I'm not as scared of that. It's just... Although I love The Descent. It's a fantastic movie, but... That's probably all my scary, scared personal things.
I think it'd be just kind of a fun thing for the entire month of October. Let us know what movie scared. You could be as a kid, you know, as a grown man or woman, whatever. Or if you're a kid now and you're listening to our podcast, you shouldn't be
because
we say bad words.
Bonus points when you email us the tagline, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen? What movie personally scared you the most? Then you will.
We'll send it to you.
Yep, you'll get bonus prize package.
Yeah, it'll be the movie that scares you the most. You're welcome.
So later this week we got The Thing, which is very cool. We're doing a bunch of cool stuff this month. We'll have Gremlins, one of my favorites, Deep Star 6. We got some cool lists coming up. We'll end it with a Stephen King themed week. There's a blog post up if you want to see our calendar for the month. Go check it out and tweet us, email us, anything you think. And we will be back later this week with one of the all-time great movies, not
scary
just horror
movies.
Yeah, one of the all-time great movies ever, John Carpenter's The Thing. So until then, stay warm.
Keep it up.